You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, we're going to just flip over and take some audio from Miami where they're doing a press conference about the collapse of a bridge. Here's the sheriff.
I got a suspension on Juan Perez from the Miami-Dade Police Department. As you just heard, late last night, it was approximately 10 o'clock when the determination was made that this no longer was going to be a search and rescue mission, and now it is a recovery and investigatory mission. So at that point, we transitioned and we became incident commanders. What that means is our priority, which is the most critical thing, is to get to the victims, get to the remains of the people that are underneath that bridge so that we could take them to a proper place so that their families can have the appropriate burial and ceremonies that they want to have, that last chance, the opportunity to have with their family members. This is a tragedy that we do not want to reoccur anywhere in the United States. So with us today here, and actually they got here last night, it was OSHA, NTSB, who are going to assist us through this process and work with us and they're going to do parallel investigations with our homicide investigators. In addition to that, yesterday I had been in communication throughout the day with our state attorney, Kathy Fernandez Rundel. Today she has a team of state attorneys here on the scene to help us moving forward with the investigation. But please do not jump to any conclusions, okay? It's important that we understand this is a homicide investigation. That's all it is. That means that somebody died. That is it. It's not mean that there is criminal charges looming or pending or anything like that. Is there a possibility for that? There's always a possibility for anything like that to occur. But does not mean, because I already read some headlines, you know, possible criminal charges. So there could be possible criminal charges anywhere. So we're not there yet. We're not there yet, and we don't even know if that's going to lead to that. Right now, we just want to find out what occurred, what caused this collapse to occur, and people to die. We want to get to the bottom of this, the bottom line of what occurred, so that we can bring closure to the families, bring closure to the investigation, and so that it doesn't happen again. That's the most important thing here. Now, if we find something on the way, that is why the state attorney is here with us. They are right now monitoring this investigation along with our investigators, just in case that occurs. And that is it. So there are a lot of moving parts. We mentioned yesterday about the reunification center with our victim advocates. The key thing here is to provide as much comfort and show as much compassion to our victims, which are also the family members that lost somebody. So we have here with us our police chaplains that have come out here to provide some of that support for those family members. That's why it's also key, and I keep reminding you to please, if you happen to find out names of victims, just because you guys are very good at what you do, please do not disclose that unless you know for a fact that we have notified next of kin that to confirm that their loved ones are the ones that are in those vehicles. We know that there's people missing. The family members know that they're missing. And what we can tell them is that we could assume that they're in there, but we cannot confirm identity of who's in there. So we're caught in a bad place right now. So the last thing we want to do is disclose names and all that. So that, you know, let us do that, because we're trying to navigate through some difficult times, that has arisen because of this tragic event. This is a tragedy, and there's nothing that we can probably do to fill the gap that's been created in the souls of the family members and friends. So it's very difficult for us to do that. So this is obviously for the family members. I can only empathize, as all of us. So I ask you to please cooperate in that manner with us. Next up, I think I'm going to bring up Fire Department Chief Downey to say a couple of words.
Good morning again, Dave Downey, Miami-Dade Fire Rescue. As you've heard, we're assisting now Miami-Dade Police in the recovery effort. We're working side by side with police and all the investigation agencies to try to bring closure to this incident. We're going to remain on scene until such time as we've removed every victim, and we'll continue to work. We exhausted last night all of our search and rescue capabilities in hopes of finding additional survivors. We used auditory, we used visual, we used our canines, And we've determined that there is no longer any survivors. That's why we transitioned into this recovery mode. But we will continue to remain on scene. We'll continue to work in order to get all of these victims removed. And we ask again that everybody keeps the families in your thoughts and prayers, and understand that this is going to be a long-term operation. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Robert Sumwalt, and I'm the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. And on behalf of myself and all of my colleagues at the NTSB, we'd like to offer our sincerest condolences to those who've been affected by this tragedy. The people of South Florida have been through a lot, obviously, over the last several weeks, and this is just yet one more tragedy to add to that sad book. The NTSB has brought a full investigative go team. We began arriving in Miami on scene here at about 10 o'clock last night. We left about 2 last night. We met with the state, local, and federal officials, and then we did a general walkthrough of the area. In addition to our headquarters support staff in Washington, we have a 15-person team. They have expertise in civil engineering, material science, human factors, survival factors, and we've brought in our specialists from our Office of Transportation Disaster Assistance, who will be here to help facilitate the needs of the victims and the victims' families. I want to distinguish ourselves from the type of investigation that we're doing. You heard the director say that they are conducting a homicide investigation, which is routine for anytime there's been a death. Our investigation is completely different. We are here, we're an independent federal agency. We're charged by Congress to investigate transportation accidents, to determine the cause, to make recommendations so that something like this does not happen in the future. And that's why we are here. We are working with the local officials, but we are conducting an independent investigation that is not in any way related to any criminal charges, possible criminal charges. We don't, of course, have immediate access to the site. We did a general walkthrough last evening, but until we get full access after the recovery operation is completed, we have not had a chance to get up and really start getting what I call an up-close and personal look, a real investigative work, but that will begin hopefully this afternoon.
So a few headlines now. 6 dead, as we mentioned. One of
How does a bridge fall down in the United States, man? I don't understand. That's third world country bullshit. So, good morning to you on a Friday. We'll start the program as we normally do here right now. But that was live audio from Miami, where I think, like everybody else, the nation has watched a bridge that was put up on Saturday collapse. And the last death toll I saw was 4 or 6. I can't remember. I'm stunned. You know, pay millions of dollars for this kind of stuff, and the son of a bitch falls. I don't understand it. So, no, it's head shaking and all the rest of that stuff. So, I'm a little bit sick and tired in this country of people that are supposed to do things and they don't do them. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like getting better. It seems like getting worse. So, with that said, we will reset the program. Stand by. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess Vegas can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of Fuse Inc. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. Cause I think I'm getting so huge, I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky, it's cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think. Cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Good Friday morning to you. Yeah, I just got in a bad mood. Yesterday I went off on a bit of a rant about taking an oath. And seeing that bridge is more of it. So you got civil engineers who design a thing and engineers who put it through all the rigmarole, and we're going to put it up, but we're going to let traffic go even though it all the centerpiece hasn't been installed. It's perfectly safe, blah, 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 blah. And they're wrong. And people are dead. Awesome. Awesome. So we'll check some news headlines. And then F-18 went down on approach to Naval Air Station Key West, I believe it's called. And eyewitness reports say that before it impacted, when it was on approach, it went vertical and there was a fireball, and then it headed for the ground. So, whenever things like this happen, we try to get our F-18 guys on to do some explaining. So, we're going to do a little bit of that. I wanted to play the head chef won't join us today. He's under the weather, and neither will the gunner. He's under the weather. So, I wanted to play the some of the comments that were made by the Secretary of Navy and the Commandant of the Marine Corps relative to China, and they made them in the context of the of a hearing of the House Appropriations Committee. So I want to, you'll hear a little bit of that today. And they talk about China weaponizing their economy. So we'll do a little bit of that as well. So should be an interesting morning here on All Marine Radio. Hope you're having a good one. And Whitney Houston sings the national anthem this morning. Good morning to you.
Happen.
is dedicated to nine naval aviators who've lost their lives in the last 48 hours. Two in Key West, and then seven last night in a place called Al Kaim, Husseiba. If you've ever been there, it's right on the Syrian. If you leave Fallujah or Ramadi, you essentially drive down the Euphrates River into Syria, and right on the Syrian border are the cities. Al Kaim, I believe, is a train station, and a nice train station. And Husseiba is the border town. And we did a lot of fighting out there. I've been to both places. And so evidently a Black Hawk clipped the power line last night.
God bless.
And so this dedicated to their memory. And we salute them this morning. Let's see, four of them would have been aviators and the other five were crew members. So, God bless them. God bless the family.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Neller, he's from Michigan, man. He looks like he walked out of a Michigan bumper factory. He does. No, he looks like a brawler. He loves that, too. All right, mostly cloudy, 39 at Quantico. Sun in 62 down at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Warming up. Brownberry, Texas, sunny at 67. Big Timber, Montana, clouds at 32. They're warming up. 29 Palms, they cooled off. Sun in 43. Camp Pendleton, mostly sunny in 43. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 67 degrees with weather warnings in effect there. Mars is warming up. Dark, clear, and 75. The home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy under cloudy skies. Current temperature is 50, looking for a high of 61. Rain tonight and low of 50. Saturday, a high of 61 with cloudy skies and a 20% chance of rain. What is that? Sunday, clouds and 63. It's a joke. It's an absolute outrage. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. We'll check news headlines. There's a bunch of them, too. More of All Marine Radio on a Friday. No Gunner, no Chef. Yeah, we'll see what the hell happens today.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. Home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Toby Keith. Dreamwalking. All right, we'll check some news headlines. Keeping my finger that that the FBI guy gets fired today. Mac, that's terrible. You shouldn't root for that. Yeah. If you don't uphold your oath, and I don't mean, like, he didn't report, like, an expense while he was on his trip in Europe, okay? I don't mean, you know, I don't mean things that are between the left and right lateral limit of what happens. Okay? What I mean is that you don't live up to your oath. Okay. Not that you don't make a mistake, because people do make mistakes. I get that. Okay. In fact, I would tell you this. The guy at Parris Island, probably in over his head. Probably, certainly in over his head. Wasn't up to it. But that's what we use the depots for. Right? People that don't grow up in command, we get them command at the depot so we can put them in command later on in their careers and promote them. Right? That's their battalion command of a recruit depot. So anyway. You could make the case that person's in over their head. I remember my dad telling me once. So my dad's a baseball team manager, right, in the major leagues. And I can't remember, we were talking about when people fail. Like, you know, you put a relief pitcher in or a pinch hitter. And he said, you know, when somebody fails, I have to ask myself, you know, who failed? You know, did they fail or did I put them in a situation that they didn't really have a chance in? He said, and sometimes you don't have a choice. He said, look, when I'm managing the San Diego Padres, in the 70s, and the big red machine from Cincinnati comes in, every matchup that I can create favors them. They have an answer for it that's better than mine. So, you know, it is what it is. So you run them out there and you know, you hope that maybe even though the odds aren't in your favor, you know, if it's 70-30, it still means that 30% of the time it might go your way. And you keep your fingers crossed that this is one of the 30. He said, but that guy didn't fail. He performed the way he performs. And against guys like the one that was on the mound, that's normally what happens. 75% of the time he gets out against them. He hits 250 against them. So anyway, it's kind of so when you look at failure, it is. I mean, did I misemploy somebody, or did that person fail? And I think when you look at things that go wrong, that's a critical determination that you need to make. Did they fail, or did they do everything that was in their power to do, and either the enemy had a boat, or fate intervened, or bad luck intervened, or something, or somebody else's bad judgment intervened. Could be any of those or bits of a lot of them. So I learned growing up. I learned that as a kid. I was so ready to be a platoon commander. I'd watched my dad do that stuff my whole life. You know, tactically, you know, I watched every night when he'd manage a baseball game, him with his lineup card, right, and trying to engineer a matchup in his favor. So I understood matchups and knowing what your weapons were as opposed to his weapons, trying to create that. I understood all that as a young guy. The other piece I understood was I grew up staying late because I'd want to ride home with my dad. I'd want to go after the game, want to go hang out in the clubhouse with him. I'd watch him talk to sports writers and stuff. And then I'd watch him, you know, I've got to talk to this guy before he goes home tonight. I got to talk to this guy. We're sending this guy out tomorrow. Got to talk to him. So sit around and wait for my dad. And then the ride home, which was arguably growing up, probably the best time, you know, to talk, you know, he and I talking on the way home and learning about how do you deal with people's problems, you know, dad. You know, why were you in the office so long with so-and-so? Well, you know, he and his wife just separated, and he's struggling. And he wanted me to know that he's trying as hard as he can, but he's not sleeping at night. And, you know, and just so that I knew, you know, and I offered him, like, any help that he needed. But, you know, so it's like, it has nothing to do with baseball. It has everything to do with life, right? But, you know, and I remember one of his sayings was, when you handled yourself, use your head. When you handle others, use your heart. And I don't know where he got that. But you know, so I grew up. So when you look at failure, you know, when you look at failure, it's extremely significant to understand. It's extremely significant to understand why it happened and kind of do the postmortem on it. So anyway, and that's why McCabe, he's a politician in the uniform of people that take an oath. And when you decide that you're gonna determine what you enforce and you begin to play games with it and you put your hand on the scale, then, in my opinion, you've betrayed your oath. And I would fundamentally differentiate that from somebody who's in over their head, who fails. And that's why I would draw the distinction between what happened at Paris Island. Something bad happened at Paris Island. Okay, something bad. There was somebody doing something wrong, and there was somebody else who was... And you know, when the story of Paris Island was that the battalion commander was already being disciplined because he created a climate where evidently there was retribution if you for dissent, and that shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't be the case. So, I think that's an important distinction when you look at these kind of cases. And so, I think like a lot of the country, I've watched the FBI with, you know, my jaw on my desk most days. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, do you remember? I can tell you when I was a kid. When I was a kid, remember on Sunday night there was a store. There's a show called the FBI, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Right, the FBI, and it came on. I don't know what channel it was on. Did it come on after Disney, or was Bonanza on? But I remember it was a. It was on. And, you know, the FBI, right? It ran from 1965 until 1974. That show. Produced by Quinn Martin, based in part on the concepts from the 1959 Warner Brothers theatrical film, The FBI Story. The series was an authentic telling of or fictionalized account of FBI cases with fictitious name characters carrying the stories. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. played Inspector Louis Erskine, a widower whose wife had died as a result of an ambush that was meant for him. Philip Abbott played Arthur Ward, assistant director to FBI Chief J. Edgar Hoover. Although Hoover served as series consultant until his death until 1972. He was never seen in the series. At the end of the show, sometimes Ephraim Zimbalist would come on and they would talk about most wanted people in the country. Right? So you grew up with this, the mythology of the FBI, right? The organization. And now, you know, so from a kid to what you see today, I'm extremely disappointing. Disappointing. But, you know, all these organizations are nothing more than a conglomeration of human beings. But, I said yesterday, and it's still, and the bridge thing is the bridge thing, the aviation mishap in Florida. Okay, so the bridge thing. We have civil engineers and all kinds of people that in the United States are supposed to be able to test this kind of stuff. And we have it falling on citizens less than 72 hours after it was put in there. That's not missing it by a little bit. The bridge fell down. It didn't buckle. It failed catastrophically. So what in the hell was that? Right? Somebody not doing their job? Okay. And again, we see this over and over and over and over again in our country now. It's like, you know, nah. The aviation mishap off the coast off of Naval Air Station Key West. Okay. We all know about the readiness issues relative to F-18s. So the things on final approach, and so according to an eyewitness, goes vertical, a fireball, and then plummets into the water. Now, what does that sound like? Does that sound like something that a pilot did? Or that the aircraft failed catastrophically? I can tell you what it sounds like to me, and I'm not an F-18 pilot. It sounds like it failed catastrophically to me. the and so what? Somebody loses their life because we can't figure out this F-18 nonsense because there's no spare parts, you know, and all the rest of the bullshit you've heard, right? Let me tell you. I'll skip to one of my favorite stories of the day. Okay. Navy Times. Former Fitzgerald XO, Navy crew members battling PTSD after fatal collision. No shit, man. You think? So what's your point? Here's a story by Jeff Zuzulowitz, who's been a guest on the program. Many crew members of the destroyer Fitzgerald who survived the warship's catastrophic collision with a merchant vessel last summer are experiencing post-traumatic stress after returning to sea, according to the ship's former second-in-command. Writing on the Naval Institute's blog this week, former Executive Officer Commander Sean Babbitt spoke of the lingering trauma to the Fitz's crew now faces after fighting for survival and losing 7 shipmates in June. While many of our sailors have returned to normal lives on board other ships, many have experienced relapses and manifestations of post-traumatic stress brought back by returning to the sea. I personally know of a number of sailors who served aboard the Fitzgerald who have held their hands up and said, I need more help, and some of those sailors may never see a ship again. Babbitt also lauded the 267 surviving crew members. Yeah, no shit. No shit. We know this stuff, okay? This is not an epiphany. After the collision and the initial recovery period, the Navy decided it would be best to break up the crew to help the surface force recover from a spiraling manning deficit in the 7th Fleet. Well, look, the ship is going to be out of commission for how many years? So what are you going to do? Keep the crew together? Right? Have them do calisthenics on a dock every day? 85% of the Fitz's crew was reassigned. These reassignments were not limited to within the 7th Fleet area of responsibility. The decision was based on a number of factors, including reduced manning required for an extended maintenance availability. Yeah. It's like, what do you say to that? Like, no shit, man. That's what happens when you drive your ship in another ship. Bad shit happens. We know it. They should all be told it's going to happen. You're going to have these feelings. But let me just tell you, the Navy's so soft today, it's a joke. The Navy Surface Force has not fought anybody in forever. The only way that they produce casualties is they run into other ships. And now we're going to put our hands up and whine? Yeah, no, when bad shit happens, people suffer traumatic, you know, emotional injuries. We got it. The rest of the services, most of them, have been, well, the Army and the Marine Corps, they've been fighting their ass off for the last 17 years. Welcome to combat, son, except yours was self-inflicted combat. So, tell them that they need to go to mental health, that they'll learn how to live with it, doesn't have to be debilitating, in spite of everything they read, they can learn how to live with it, and a lot of them can grow because of it. Yeah, it's called post-traumatic growth. Killing me. Anyway, I'll come back to this. All right, so let's see. Where was I? Yeah, this is kind of an odd story. Top story in Marine Corps Times. Marine Intel Reserve Unit under investigation. What? An intelligence unit with Marine Force Reserves out of New Orleans currently is under investigation for various misconduct. Marine officials offered few details about the scope of the investigation. Marine Corps Times has learned some of the improprieties involve administrative and pay issues and low morale across the unit. The intel unit is known to have a high operational tempo. Recent months have participated in, and then they list a variety of deployments that intel Marines would support. Then they list some other people. No other details. They're under investigation. All right, here's the eyewitness report of the F-18 Foxtrot that allegedly exploded before it fell to the earth. An eyewitness, well, here's a little audio from the Associated Press. So we'll see what happens. All right, from the Associated Press, here's a report. Okay, important, unmute the audio. But it's not playing. And all the switches, I swear to God, all the switches are in the right spot. Why isn't it playing? All right, let me do this. Never at a loss for a course of action here. Wow. Stand by. Still loading. Taking forever. Email. Mac, are you watching March Madness? No. I saw some highlights last night. I got nothing. Oh, stand by. Maybe. All right, maybe. Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's them. That's not really my... I just want to see what the Associated Press reports, if there's any additional information in the report that wasn't in the Oh my God. WireExpo.com. All right, this should be the report. Perfect. It's only pictures. Yeah, somebody took pictures of the, there's the fuselage in, it couldn't be, you know, water can't be more than, I don't know, 3 feet deep. Yeah, so you have the tail end, tail hook down, see the two wheels of the landing gear, and then that piece is, and then the aircraft is no more after that. So the all right, I'll get to the eyewitness of crash. Her name's Barbie Wilson. Had stopped to watch the F-18 flying overhead when she saw what she called a massive malfunction in midair. The wings went vertical. There was a fireball, and it just literally dropped out of the sky, Wilson said in a report. She didn't see the aircrew eject, the report said, nor did she see the aircraft hit the water, but she later observed it laying upside down in the shallows. So, Kurt Knoll is going to join us in about 20 minutes, and we're going to ask some questions about, just have him explain, hey, what's going on in the aircraft at that point? You know, where would an explosion like that come from? You know, what has to happen for that to happen? So, that going on. A Marine Reserve reconnaissance commander found dead at home of apparent suicide. That's in the news. So that's going on. And then there's a, I don't know what that was. Something's popping on my computer. And then there's a story in Marine Corps Times, 5 reasons to love the Marine Corps. We'll come back to that. All right. Early bird, some pretty interesting stories. Number one, Trump administration hits Russia with new sanctions for election meddling, cyber attacks. You know, to me, the most interesting part of this whole Russian thing that's going on, it's, we're going back to the Cold War. Okay. So who does that benefit, and why would we be doing that? I think the only person that it benefits is Vlad Putin. Ohio man has this to say. I believe the witness quote is, and I'll go back to it. The wings went vertical. There was a fireball, and it just literally dropped out of the sky. That's reading from the Marine Corps Times story. So, in terms of the sequence, the quote is, the wings went vertical and there was a fireball. He says, I saw fire and then the wings went vertical. That's incorrect. I also read they were coming in on one engine. It sounds like the second engine failed during the approach, but is that a big deal? I guess we'll find out from Knowles. And the plane started to roll as a result. I mean, they would shut that down if it failed and drive. They ejected during the rollover at a catastrophic angle. Catastrophic angle would mean that they were pointed towards the deck when they ejected. Ohio man's been missing in action for a while, by the way. He said that, you know, wonder if there's any link to the reserve reconnaissance commander suicide and the intel, reserve intel unit. Interesting. We'll keep an eye on. Normally though, the way the Marine Corps operates is it will take months. What is it? March? So April, May, June, July, August, sometime in August by the time. And then it'll take another month for a Freedom of Information Act to extract the information out of it. If there's one thing that I don't particularly appreciate about the Marine Corps is its affinity for being less than transparent until it's yanked into it. And I say that because I talk to people all the time, you know, about, do you think I've been successful to include with people I know to get anybody to come on to talk about what's happened at Parris Island? No, not talking about that. No. And then I just in general, you know, look, the only thing that being in the media is going to do is possibly screw my ass up. So I've no desire to do it unless I'm compelled to do it. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And people that are my friends, I'll tell you that. Anyway, all right, early bird. So back to Russia real quick. Who does that benefit, right? With an economy smaller than Canada, who does that benefit? How do they keep that thing afloat, trying to puff out their chest and pretend that they're the Soviet Union on Canada's budget? Can you imagine that? Imagine the trick. Okay, imagine the trick. An economy the size of Canada, and you're trying to blow it up with a military that wants to menace, right? That wants to menace Western Europe. Huh? Okay, just stop. But he doesn't. He's a con artist. He is a bluffer's bluffer. It's incredible. Absolutely, positively incredible. Vlad Putin, con man. Yeah, look for him in Vegas soon. All right, but the Trump administration hits Russia with new sanctions for meddling, election meddling, and cyber attacks. Will that slow it down? Probably not. Okay? They just killed they just spread nerve agent in two cities in England. Yeah, and then when the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom called him on it, he said, go ahead, make my day. I'm not scared of you. Don't threaten a nuclear power. Oh, really? What are you going to do, nuke us over this? Again, somebody needs to put him in a cage. But it seems like he's deliberately choreographing this thing, right? He's choreographing this thing so that he can portray the Soviet Union, you know, Russia as the Soviet Union. And that benefits one person. It benefits him because then he restores the institutions of the Soviet Union because of these Western threats. And he props himself up. There was a pretty interesting front line done about him a year ago, maybe. And it had to do with opening up Russia and what he saw happen to Muammar Gaddafi. That when you let your dictator guard down, you are going to wind up, right, drugged through the street, bloody, your body, pictures of your body all over the place. And he believed that Hillary Clinton, as the story goes in the program, he believed Hillary Clinton specifically, you know, with some of her rhetoric, was trying to incite that in Russia. And so the motive of his retribution wasn't to elect Donald Trump. It was a payback to Hillary Clinton for meddling in Russia's affairs. So it's a pretty interesting little front line if you can get your hands on it. And I think it's still out there. I'm sure it is. But who does Russia's posture possibly benefit? It would benefit Russia. Nobody else. It certainly doesn't benefit the Russian people. The Russian people, that nation with an economy the size smaller than Canada, it's amazing. I saw that. I said, that can't be true. So I went and I looked it up. And guess what? Oh, well. There's video. I hadn't seen it. There's video of that bridge collapsing. Yikes. Unbelievable. Anyway. So again, the Russian people with that huge economy, I mean, how do they get out of living? If you've ever been to anything that was conquered by Russia, and you drive through it, it's nasty. The construction is crude, uneven, not smooth, right? It's amateurish, third worldish. Yeah, I've been former Soviet satellites, right? Bulgaria. Yeah. So you're just on a bus and you're driving from one airport to another as we switch flights in Bulgaria to go to, I think, Afghanistan. So you're as you're driving, you're just looking at construction and fences and walls and stuff like that. It's garbage. Yeah. And the reason it's garbage is they will not allow Russia to become part of the world. Let's keep Russia fenced off. Let's keep our contacts limited. Let's keep this thing on its ass so we can control it. So to what end? There's a text message. Regarding the FBI, a friend and former Marine who joined the FBI told me, in the Marine Corps, your default is that everyone is a professional until they prove otherwise. In the FBI, it is the opposite. Regarding the FBI lore, in Colonel Fox's book, he told the story of the FBI agent coming to the barracks and told all the Marines, don't take your rifles. Don't take the rifles. We will find you. Yeah, the thing to me is you watch what's going on with the FBI, and I don't care, even those who say, you know, in a big organization, you know, the Marine Corps is a good example. You know, there are bad actors. Bad things will happen. But the number of data points at the level, I mean, I don't know, the most forgiving person would have to scratch their head and say, yeah, not so much. Something's wrong in that organization. And, you know, and James Comey, to me, that's why, I don't know, does Mueller get to Comey and his behavior in this investigation? Or does Comey get a pass? What was Comey doing? You know? To me, Comey's the mother of all ass clowns. After all this nonsense, as director of FBI, I'm going to, you know, President of the United States is sending everybody out of the room, it's going to be he and I. And I don't know what's coming. Right. But he keeps all these notes and he calls all these meetings and he's really nervous about it. And so when that guy does that, what do I think is coming? Let me guess. It's just stupid. And then when the president starts to go down that road, you know what his moral responsibility to his organization is and to the President of the United States? Sir, I cannot discuss that with you. And if the president continues to go that direction, he stands up and he says, I have to leave, and he walks out. And then he calls the Department of Justice and say, I just want you to know that I had to stop the president from doing this. He doesn't do any of that. He goes back and has a meeting, and he writes memos and all this other bullshit. Comey's a clown, right? And McCabe's his guy? It's like they're running this little political enterprise. except it's the FBI. I just don't, too many data points. All right, anyway, my point being with the whole Russia thing, Vladimir Putin's a bad actor, and for whatever reason, it's in his personal interest, not the interest of the Russian people. It's in his personal interest. Same thing that's going on in Iran. Same thing that just happened in China, right? Dictators. What's rule one of dictating? Okay, you may not know this, but I'm going to make you smart about dictating. Rule one about dictating, sustain the franchise, okay? Yeah, that is rule one. Okay, what's rule two? Refer to rule one in any other instance. That's rule two. What's rule three? Refer to rule two. Okay, there is only one rule, and that is sustain it. Sustain the dictatorship. Yeah. It's amazing to me that China just did what they did. If you ever, you know, again, the initial premise of China into the World Trade Organization. I mean, think of the nightmare, and it's almost come full circle. Hey, as they're integrated economically around the world, right, as China opens up, they will become more open to Western ideas, non-communist ideas, and ultimately they will migrate from communism to something else. So we do that. So China's economy now is more interwoven in the rest of the world. It is now blown up and is on steroids. And guess what? They've doubled back to communism with this weaponized economy as they economically blackmail nations around the world to bring it to China, give us your secrets, and they weaponize that. It's awesome. And guess what? Nobody will call them out because nobody wants to be blackmailed by the Chinese economy that they've weaponized. So, I mean, it's honestly, it's amazing, right? It's amazing. So it's the dictator business, man. First rule, sustain the dictatorship. Engine failure. If they were, this is from Ohio, man. He's waxing eloquent today. If they were already down to one engine and then the second one failed during the low approach speed, I'll bet Rudy will tell you the plane will immediately stall and roll. Right, we're going to find out in a few minutes because Rudy's going to join us. I'm not sure how much time they would have had to eject safely, but I'll bet it's less than a second. Looking forward to Rudy making us smart. On him being missing in action. I was out there, San Diego, Pasadena, Corona. I got to spend a couple of days with the ensign, got a daughter in the Navy, and the commo, her husband. I was going to, I was going to get him Colonel Bathurst's book until I recalled the constant reference to titless BAMs. He says it twice. I don't want to give him a complex. And again, it's not an insult to women. It's a crude insult to men in support MOSs. Okay? That's what it is. Well, it might be an insult to both. Alright? It's a term used in the Marine Corps, and I struggled whether I should even leave it in the interview. But you know what? To me, if I don't, I mean, if I edit it out, it's kind of like taking the Confederate monuments out of the park and hiding them. Okay? Yeah, that's the way the Marine Corps rolled. And if you called him on it, he would say, "What do you mean? I'm not insulting women, right? I'm poking fun at male support MOSs because I'm an infantry guy. I'm a combat arms guy." So, all right. So we'll wait for Rudy. Yeah, I struggle with that. But, you know, it is what it is. All right. We shouldn't shy away from our history. And that's a term that was used in the Marine Corps. Navy identified the aviators killed in the Super Hornet crash. Anytime you see a Super Hornet go down, you're just like, your stomach turns in a knot. All right? Lieutenant Commander James Bryce Johnson and Lieutenant Caleb Nathan King were killed in the crash. Both were assigned to the Black Lions Strike Squadron 213 based at Naval Air Station Oceana in Virginia. The pilot, Johnson, was a naval aviator and a 2007 graduate of the Air Force Academy. He was at the jet's controls at the time of the mishap. King is a 2012 Naval Academy graduate, was flying in the rear seat as a weapons systems officer. U.S. helicopter crashes in western Iraq. Let me see if my boy Knowles is ready yet. He said 8:15. That means he dropped his kids off at school. See, I know my crew. Oops. Don't want to call my sister. Now watch. She'll call me back right in the middle of me interviewing Knowles. All right. See if Knowles is available.